Our Lord, we're grateful for your word. And Lord, in a time like we're in, Lord, we need wisdom. We do need wisdom. And Lord, we admit as we come to you today that you are so much greater than we are. And Lord, we're so grateful that you love us. We're so grateful that Jesus came so that we could know you. We ask you, Jesus, to speak to us this morning. Speak to our kids in the children's wing. And we pray, Lord, we'd see many children come to you and whole families in our community. We thank you, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. So when my grandfather died, I decided that if the stuff that we believe isn't true, I decided nothing makes sense. So I'm in my early 20s. I'm going to college. I'm living near my grandfather for the first time. He had been a contractor in the area and had built a whole bunch of homes. And my grandmother would drive us around and say, "Oh yeah, Grandpa built this one and Grandpa built that one and Grandpa built this one." And we, you know, he was still, you know, he'd finished his work, but the evidence was still there. There's a beautiful pulpit in the church. He's a quiet man, but there's a pulpit that he had built, and we would sit there, and Grandma would remind us every time, "Yeah, Grandpa built that pulpit." So I'd moved to that area, Illinois, in college, and he'd gotten dementia, but he still was able to tell some stories. And I'd say, "Grandpa, so tell me about the old country." He's Swedish, and he'd tell me these old stories, and I'd write them down, and then a few years later, he died. And my grandmother said, "Would you do the memories?" And I remember sitting in the back of that funeral home and looking up at the front where his casket was and getting ready to go up to the front and thinking, if this isn't true, then nothing makes sense. And that's what King Solomon was saying when he wrote, most likely King Solomon, his name isn't in it, it's most likely King Solomon, but whoever wrote Ecclesiastes, what he was thinking. It's part of what we call wisdom literature. So Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, wise sayings are the wisdom literature. Most of them are written from older to younger people. We see that especially in the book of Proverbs. But this one, book of Ecclesiastes, it seems may have well been written to peers. So here was King Solomon, one of the great kings of the day. And he wrote some advice to peers. I mean, we know that, like, the Queen of Sheba came to listen to him, and others would have come to him. Maybe they had their G7 meetings. You know, it's sort of like you know, you have the leaders of some of them of Europe and of North America. They all get together, and I would guess they have some interesting meals. And the older ones would probably look down at the newer ones and say, "Well, let me give you a little advice, young man or young woman." And that's the kind of thing that Solomon, or whoever wrote this, seemed to have been doing with the book of Ecclesiastes. And it was not unusual in that day. There's wisdom literature in places like Egypt and in Babylon, even in our country. So Ben Franklin has his book of wise sayings. I think William Penn had some that I read some years ago, of wise sayings, pithy things, from a man of wisdom to the rest of us. And if you flip to the end of this book, you find out the conclusion of the matter. The conclusion that Solomon makes is that it's better to live your life around and build your kingdom around fearing the Lord. Now, he's not talking about being afraid of God in a bad sense of being, frightened like on Halloween, kind of afraid of God, but having a healthy respect and awesome, a fear in a positive, in a good kind of a way. And what he's telling us in this first chapter is that that we have a better life when we fear the Lord with the tough questions of life. And don't we have a lot of extra tough questions, it seems, right now at this point in our lives and in our history? What he says in this book, is in this first chapter, is that our lives, is that that life is sort of like a merry-go-round. At least that's the way that we would put it today if we look at the first 11 verses of this. And so he sits down. Here's the master. Sits down with those who are listening intently to him, to those who have less experience perhaps in ruling their kingdoms or their areas of the kingdom. And he says, the thing about life, he says, is that it really is something that just goes round and round and round and round. And we would say today, it's sort of like a merry-go-round. So you go over to the fair and you hop on the merry-go-round and things go round and round. We pay people to do this, you know. So we look in there and, oh, there's the operator. Oh, there he is again. There he is again. Oh, and there's the popcorn stand. Oh, and there's my family. Oh, and they're going around and around and around, and I'm sitting on a horse. But it goes around and around and around, and that's the way that life is, isn't it? So, you know, thank you for singing happy birthday to me today. That was fun. I hope to have another one. I had a lot of them. And I'll have one again. And Lord willing, you'll have another one again when it gets around the block to the day of your birthday. And then, but there's other things that happen every year. There's the season, summer, fall, winter, spring. There seems to be cycles even in civilizations and in countries. You know, we have every 4 years and we say goodbye to the last one and hello to the next one. And why would they want to do that again? But it goes around and around and around again. And so across the planet, we watch people come and go. They come and they go. And Solomon says, it's meaningless. This is crazy. You work your life, you sweat like a dog, and then you get to the end of it, and what have you accomplished? And so you give everything away, or everybody, they take it all away. They give it all away to Goodwill or Salvation Army at the end, and then the other round starts. So they're playing at your feet. And then they become young men and young women. And then they go out and they marry. And then they start to accumulate. And then they start, their family grows up. And then they become the grandparents. And then they got somebody at their feet. And then they start giving it all away. And then we're put in a box in the ground. And then the thing starts all over again. And those that are sitting at your feet, I mean, it happens time and time and time again. What do you gain from all of this, he asks. It's like it's a merry-go-round that goes around and around and around. The sun rises, it sets. The sun rises, it sets. We go to summer, fall, winter, spring. The wind blows up the street, it blows down the street. It goes this way, it goes that way. You know, these changes, they can wear you out. It's fun to wait for the fall to come again. It's fun seeing all of this, where is it? Some of these fall colors. We look forward to that. And then there's a few that look forward to winter. And then we look forward to spring again. And then we look forward to summer again. And then we get into fall again. And it comes and goes and comes and goes and comes and goes, along with all of the other ups and downs of life. And it can just wear us out. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lives, said, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. This has happened for centuries. We have this is what our helper brought me from my wife this morning. So we got this picture in the bookcase. This is one of these old metal pictures. And I remember when Maureen put it in there, I said, who is that? She said, I don't know. It's an ancestor from somewhere. And here's the crazy thing. You know, there'll be a day when somebody pulls our picture out. And for a lot of us, we still got paper pictures. We don't have these metal pictures. And now it's digital pictures. And who knows what's going to happen to all those pictures. But there's coming a day when someone's going to say, who's that? And somebody's going to Google or whatever they do in those days, who is that? I searched for that image. I don't know who it is unless Jesus comes back sooner. And nobody will remember us. That doesn't make any sense, does it? It's crazy. But that's the way that it's going to be. And we spend all this time making sure we're smiling pretty for the picture. But someday, our picture, maybe they'll just delete our pictures because nobody will remember who we are. So, how can we make sense of life when nothing makes sense? Somebody said, there's two things that it ought to do for us. As we listen to the words of the wisest man, who's thinking this through. One of those is that we ought to fear the operator. The one in charge of the merry-go-round is the one that we ought to fear, that we ought to have great respect for, because he's the one that is in charge. And we're not. And to fall with humility before him and say, you know what? I don't know what's going on. It doesn't make sense to me where I am in life right now and in this whole life to me. I'm grateful for the blessings, but I know it's going to end someday. We pretend like it's always going to be here. But to fall before him and say, Lord, it makes no sense to me. But then make sure that we know him and say, Lord, won't you fulfill your plan in me. You see, like, life makes no sense. It makes no sense when we look at it, especially from a secular viewpoint. It makes no sense without God. So what do you do about that? Well, sometimes what we do is we pour ourselves into wisdom. And that's what Solomon did. He really poured himself into wisdom. The Lord had given him this amazing mind. He had asked God for wisdom. And then God gave him wisdom. So what if you could pour yourself into wisdom? What if you, like Solomon, you know, if you were a person and you just had unlimited resources, and so you could go and you could get that teacher in school the best teacher, you know, at your school. Or what if, you know, you went to one of these fancy dancy academies or something, you know, and then you got into Harvard or Yale or Princeton or Stanford or wherever the mucky mucks go, okay? And then you graduate from there, and oh, you got unlimited resources, so you take your yacht over and you go to Oxford and you get your PhD over there, and then you got one of the greatest minds there ever was, and your mind is expanding, and then you're the one on the talk shows, you know. So I don't know, the Today Show or Good Morning America, you know, they're calling you, and then they call you before Congress because they're trying to figure out all of these things, and you're the one that they call in. That's what was going on for Solomon. You know, I mean, even with unlimited options, what would happen to you? What would happen if you're, and then you went after all these things without God from a secular viewpoint? What would happen? That's what happened to Solomon. He said, it was a difficult senseless life. He said, I was chasing after the winds. He said, I was running down crooked roads that just kept winding around and around. You remember what happened to Solomon? So Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, that at the end of his life, chased after women. And the Lord had said, you follow me, things will go well. If you follow your way, the ways of humanity, even the best ways of humanity, he said things will go bad. And it was his foolishness. Running after wisdom without God that led to the split of the kingdom. And the whole thing fell apart. Wisdom without God does not satisfy. You can learn everything, and he says it'll be chasing after the wind. You can't catch it. You can't catch it. Because he said that the problem is that the more that you know, the more you realize that you don't know. And if you don't know God, as he says, you find out that the more questions, the more you learn, the more questions you have. And the unanswered questions, you know, we think if we could just figure out all of this stuff going on in our world today, that we'd feel better, or the things in our lives that we'd feel better. But no, he said, really, the more that you know, the more that you know that you don't know. It makes you feel worse, he says. And that's the way that it would be for us. Like Solomon, sometimes we think if we just knew more. And so what do? We look on these foolish things. And we look on the internet, and we try and get better education. We try and get a better training. We try and get better this. We try and get more knowledge up here. Try and get better certification. Try and get better college. Try and get a better location, a better situation. You think, you know, they become, if they would just ask me for advice. But the problem is that the answers will still never be there. The truth is, Solomon says, is that we would be unhappy without God, because those missing pieces, that what we don't know by knowing more would drive us nuts. That vacuum inside would just never be satisfied. Maybe you've heard of Stephen Hawking. You heard of Stephen Hawking? He was a brilliant man, one of the most brilliant men of our, you know, of the last 100 years or so. He was a physicist, an astronomer, as I recall. Poor guy was like a quadriplegic, but I mean, just brilliant. But he said, you know, I don't know if there's a God out there. I don't, you know, I look out there. I don't see anything. He questioned the existence even of God, or at least of his ability to communicate with us. And a poor man died disillusioned, totally frustrated, chasing after wind. Because even with this great mind, which he pursued without God, he had nothing. How much better, Solomon says, back at the beginning of the book of Proverbs, he says, to begin with the fear of God. To begin with that, to begin to center our lives around knowing him and following him, and to learn everything that there is with an appreciation for the Creator. And to trust him with the unanswered questions. You see, there's a great satisfaction in living a life that's centered around fearing the Lord, bowing before him, admitting that he is in charge, and fulfilling his purposes instead of living a life of hopeless pursuit without him. You see, the merry-go-round operator owns the whole amusement park. And he invites us into his larger story. We've thought about this story behind me for a long time now. These will soon be leaving us for another space. But we began with a world that he created perfectly. And then we messed it up. And then he promised that this one family would deliver us. And they messed up. And then, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, the king from that family messed it up. And everything was in turmoil. But then that one son of Israel, Jesus, came, who we'll celebrate in a few minutes with the Lord's table. And he gave his life for us so that we could be welcomed into his family. And though the little life that we're on feels like a merry-go-round, that we are part of something bigger that has meaning and purpose. And he invites us into his story so that he can use us. And we say, Jesus, won't you use me? Won't you use my household? Lord, won't you use our church family? Won't you use your church family, the church, as part of your bigger plan that isn't just for this useless little life from a human standpoint. It's part of something much bigger. And help me to have meaning in this life that I now have with you and others who love you forever and ever. You see, knowing the source of wisdom can give us meaning in this life. It can also motivate us to know more about him and his world and his gifts in this world. Listen to what Ecclesiastes is saying as we this is a little bit later on, and also in the book of Proverbs. Life can make great sense with God. It makes no sense. No sense at all without him. We can deepen our learning because we know the Creator. I really wasn't all that interested in Canada as a young man until I met a young Canadian who's sitting over here. And all of a sudden, I got real interested in Canada. I learned about tea, and I learned about Queens, and I learned about hockey, and all kinds of things. It was all about Canada. I hate to say it. I still can't tell you how many provinces there are, but they're not states. They're provinces. Ten provinces. Okay, I'm going to learn this one of these days. It's 50 nifty United States. No, there's 10 provinces, and that's really important. But I got up really interested in that because I was really interested in a young lady from Ontario. Think about where you spend your time every day. Okay, I see teachers, I see some factory workers, I see some retirees, I see computer people, I see some homemakers, I see some I better stop right now. I see some medical people. I see all kinds of things that you guys do. What if you saw what you're doing as mimicking the Creator in the light of the one who made you and me in this world? What is he doing that's like what you do? The Bible says we're created in his image. Okay, so I'll pick on one. Okay, so Jeff will pick on you. So you like to ride motorcycles. I know that's not all that you do. Okay, but what does God do? I mean, that's like a motorcycle. I mean, he designed all kinds of stuff. He designed the laws of physics, all those kind of things. And so learning about those things, about motorcycles, about cooking, about caring for a house, about working in finance. I mean, about all of those things are things that he does, and we are moving ahead as his children, mimicking him, and that gives meaning, it gives direction. Okay, it gives us purpose. And he's welcomed us into his story as those whom he created. And that can apply to hobbies as well. Things that, you know, flowers and gardens and mechanics and all kinds of things. Mimicking what he does for the glory, for the glory of God. And give meaning to us as we follow his model in living in this crazy world. Seek to know God. Seek to know him. But listen, my Bible-believing Christians, okay? We often do what secular people do. We separate the spiritual from the secular. Shalom. What this book talks about is life that is whole. And Jesus and God in his plan puts it all together. Okay, so the other side of it is, yeah, let's know him. But then this book, the message of this book is enjoy life. Enjoy what he's given to you and to us. Enjoy it. It's his gift. And ask him to shine in and through you and me. To shine his light in this world. Another verse from the book of Proverbs. He said, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands, and you will live.